Blog Talk Radio.
And shalom, family. Yes, I, Melkam Mahud, beautifully good first day right here on the ear and the iris. Yes, a little bit of overflow right there's here on the outro. Thought about Korah, and then there was Datan and Abiram. Korah was a Levite, but Datan and Abiram, they were Reubenites. So it's interesting that opening there of Jamali, this tune right there, you know, let Reuben live, you know, what the patriarch Jacob has said. He must have seen something, you know, how they say parents, you know, or mothers and fathers, you know, like fathers were able to see and mothers, you know, those prophecies. But we have Yaakov giving that prophecy there. And then we have, you know, it's interesting because he's in a sense rebukes, you know, in the blessing, Reuben, and then what he says about Simeon and Levi. But right here is interesting, the connection with this Korah, the crazy bald head. So right here, we saw the fourth, or we finished the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh Aliyot, you know, up offerings here. Here we are at the first day service. Today's daily psalm is 64. We had Psalm 6 actually corresponding with the Shabbat day. And there was an interesting verse that we picked up on, especially from the Hebrew. But it was in, Psalm 6 at round about verse like 8, depart from me, all your workers of iniquity, how he told them, suru, like, you know, come away, depart from the congregation, the tents of them evil men. We had Korah, we have Datan and Abiram. And it says that the earth opened her mouth and swallow them all up. We have Sheol, what's often referred to as the underworld. This is not the word for death, and it's not the word for the grave. It's this sense of the underworld, right? The underworld, or the kind of the place of the departed souls and psyches. It's an interesting kind of connection among a lot of ancient peoples in ancient Egypt. They had the Duat, some call it the Duat, the Tuat, the Duat, the underworld. And this conception that kind of continues in some ancient and coming into even certain modern Yehudi or Jewish reasonments concerning when it says right here, while ones and ones gather in, right here for the first day service, the Yom HaRishon, here where it says in Numbers, let's go to Numbers chapter 16 before we ride up. Right here. But Numbers, we have Numbers chapter 16 on the KJV Bible. And in that audible right there, the Aliyot, we didn't bring it out right there, but hopefully in another record, we can bring it out. Numbers chapter 16, verse 30, 16:30 says, but if, plain KJV reading here, but if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain to them, and they go down quick into the pit, then y'all shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Now, there seemed to be some confusion, right, amongst even those right then. They were thinking, even after these different judgments of those who had either rose up or started to murmur and complain, we had Miriam before, and situation with Miriam. We had the spies that came back with the Deba, the evil report, the Dibby report that discouraged a whole generation of Israelites from going forward to the promised land, but to stay like many of the latter-day Israelites did in Babylon, many of I and I parents and foreparents, even though there was that movement to come out of her. But here, this particular verse here, caught I and I attention, and let's just go through a couple of key things here. First, let's bring up the Hebrew right here. Give me one moment. Okay. Weim. Okay. Okay. Here we go. He says, here's what Moshe says. He says, Weim, Beria, Yibra, Yahuwah, U fatata hadama eta piha u valah o time. We at the call asher lahem. We yardu chayim sheola. We die etem ki ne'atzu ha'anashim ha'ele et Yahuwah. So here, a couple of the key words from the English, turn to the English here, a little, where it says, but if Yahuwah make a new thing, interesting right here, a beriyah. Now, the translation is a new thing, right? A new thing. But actually the Hebrew here, the key word, beriyah. What is beriyah from bara, create? It's a creation. Beriyah is a creation, a created thing. The connotation is a new thing or like a marvel. But when we get directly into the Hebrew, this noun, feminine, beriyah, right, means a creation, something that's created from the root word bara, to create, in some sense, to shape, to form. But this word is always used, it's interesting in the Hebrew, it's always used with ha-Elohim, ha-Elohim, the almighty power, the nature of natures, Elohim, Yahuwah, with the Elohim name, as we have in the beginning or in the first part of Moshe's first book, where it says, Bereshith, bara Elohim et ha-shamayim wa et ha-aret, in beginning, in wisdom, let's bring out the understanding from overstanding and the understanding of the Hebrew. In wisdom, in the Hebrew, chokmah, in wisdom, Elohim, the powers, he who is the powers, created the heavens and the earthly plane. In wisdom. So here we have a beriyah. So first thing first, when it says, if Jehovah make a new thing, it's not new thing in the Hebrew sense. Weim, beriah, yivra, Yahuwah. And if, weim, and if, beriah, a creation. Yivra, he creating Yahuwah. If Yahuwah, yivra, Yahuwah, if he who be who he be creates a creation. Ufatata, and she opening, right? And she opening, right? The fatata, to open in the sense of to part, to separate. It's an interesting sense. It's often used, like to say, open the mouth. This, the fatata, to open the mouth, like to gape. Like if the earth gapes, the earth is going to gape on them, right? Primitive root word to rend, like to rip, but it has a kind of a sense of to open, right? So if the earth, if she, right, opens her mouth, ufatata, she opening ha-adama, the adama. You know, we have the first man, Adam, ha-adam, right? And we say, well, who would be his father? Well, from a scriptural perspective, HaTorah perspective, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Jehovah Ayinai Elohim will be his father. But then next question, well, who is his mother? Well, Adam, right, was brought out or was formed, according to Genesis chapter 2, from the ground, the dust of the ground, the earth, the Adama. So here it says, Ufatata HaAdama. And she opening the earth et piha, the p, the fi, the fly, the fay, the mouth, here pointed as piha, her mouth, u bala, like to eat, to swallow actually, u bala, and she swallowing otam, and she swallowing them. So this is what Moshe actually said here, just bringing out the key, the basics of the Hebrew. Uvala otam, ve'et kol asher lahem, ve'et, and pertaining, all that pertains to them. Ve'et kol, call all, asher, Asher, call Asher, all that which Lahem is of them. Ve'et call Asher Lahem. Ve'yardu, ve'yardu, and they yarad, 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 descending, going down, descending. Ve'yardu, and they descending, chayim. Chayim, here in the Hebrew has chayim. Now chayim is the plural sense, like to say lives or life, but often used in a singularity. Like for example, like to say like cheers, like in the English sense they'll say cheers, or like a toast. Like, you know, like when they toast somebody, say l'chayim, l'chayim, l'chayim. To lives, to liberty, to life, like to say to life, like, you know, to life, like you cheer someone, lift up the chalice and you cheer someone, l'chaim, l'chaim, for lives. Literally, it's lives. Because the interesting thing is that even when it's applied to individual, many times in the Hebrew it has a plural sense. Chai, chai, chai is life. Chai, life, chayim, lives. Right, so here the context that's often translated in the KJV version where it says, and the earth opened her mouth, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, uvala, and all that pertaineth to them, and they go down, v'yardu, quick, chayim, living, and they will descend, living, into the pit. Now, the word pit here is somewhat dubious, right? Because in the Psalm, Psalm 6, do we still have Psalm 6 open in front of us? Psalm 6, it spoke about something about the pit. What was that? Something about the pit and going down, something about the pit. And it uses the word, was it in this Psalm right here, vor, or the boar? Probably was one of the comparison Psalms right there, right? The boar. The boar, like the boar, on some pointings it has a sense of vor. So in the modern Hebrew, they'll say vor sometimes. So sometimes we bring that out to emphasize a Hebraic pun, like the vor, the boar. Boar is like a pit, a hole in the ground. But when it's pointed elsewise as vor, it sounds a little like a vortex, like a vortex, like a pit, you know, some sort of a pit. Right, but here the actual word that's used in the Hebrew is Sheolah. Now, Sheol is often brought out as the underworld, right? The underworld. Sometimes it's mistranslated in the King James Version as the grave. In a New Testament context, hell, depends on your interpretation, could be appropriate. But the word pit, yes, in the English sense, but it's not. We have another word for pit. The boar is the pit. Here it says go down to Sheolah. Sheolah with the ah at the end. In the Hebrew sense, it's like it's directionally. Like if they want to return to Egypt, Egypt is Mitzrayim. But if one is going to Egypt in the Hebrew sense, we'll bring out it as directionally Mitzrayimah. Mitzrayimah. So that ah, there almost has a sense of like going to a certain place. So Sheolah, Sheolah will be like going to Sheol, Sheol. As we mentioned, since the Israelites here came Mitzrayim out of the Smai Tawi, the two lands, referred to sometimes euphemistically as Kemet, no doubt they were familiar with the religious and spiritual speculations and objectifications of the underworld. What happens when you descend after you die? In fact, ancient Tawi was very much kind of big on that right there, the book of the coming forth by day and by night. But what I'm pointing out is that many ancient peoples, right, had these conceptions of the afterlife as Sheol. Even the Moshiach Yeshua, he continues this Yehudi idea, bringing out even more perfectly, right, a description of Sheol. For example, you remember the parable, some say, the parable of the rich man that liked to, maybe he was an IUIC or something like that. Yeah, shots, fire, fire, fire. Like, you know, he wore purple a lot, you know, the purple lights. because it says that he wore purple and he, because that was like a rich fabric, you know, to get purple because it was a particular type of sea creature that was produced, that particular color produced from. So it was regarded in the Mediterranean and certain parts of Levant as being very precious, you know, in its color. So Yeshua, Rabbeinu Yeshua, he speaks about there was the poor man, right? I think they call him Lazarus or Eleazar in the Hebrew, Eleazar, Elosar, or Lazarus in the Koine Coptic Greek, kind of like the Hebrew Osirian type of a figure, right? That he basically was a poor man. He slept outside this rich man's gates and nobody cared for him. The poor man came and went and did not give a damn about the man, right? But the dogs came along, the dogs, you know what I mean? The dogs came along and like licked his wounds, his sores. And then in one night, Rabbeinu, I and I, Rabbi, the Rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua HaMoshiach, he says to the Talmudim, I and I, the disciples, he says that, and like one night, both mine and them, they vank out. They got vanquished from this, the land of the living. They died, in other words. Now, one went to the bosom, right, of Abraham, according to Rabbeinu, I and I, Rabbi, according to Yeshua HaMoshiach, right? And then we had the other man. He went to another part of town, right? So the two distinct parts of towns. Now, for ones who want to actually maybe read into this and understand the Hebrew or the Yehudi point of view, this is why Yeshua said to Samaritan woman that y'all, the Samaritans, you know, but he says, y'all worship that which you know not. We know what we worship, for salvations of the Yehudim is of the Jews, to say the Judeans. In other words, the Judeans, the Yehudi, the Jews in principle, has the right interpretation, right, for Kol Yisrael. However, at that particular time, there were certain rabbis and teachers that was teaching one thing away from the true teaching, and Rabbeinu Yeshua came forward to rebuke and to reprove them, you know, to correct them. But like I said, if you correct the wise man, he'll love you. Correct the fool, he will hate you. So we know what Yeshua had to go through, right? But the underworld, so this was the abode of the dead. So there was this idea that comes out even here from Numbers chapter 16, verse 30, that is very ancient, you could say Israelitish and Hebrew, and later on gets preserved among the Yehudi, that we even find in other areas of the scripture. And we also find the Brit Chadasha, where Yeshua now is describing this place, this Sheol. Now, in the New Testament, as the Old Testament, sometimes this is mistranslated or poorly translated. When it says the pit, as we said, there is another place, right, that is called the pit, like a hole in the ground. This was a place that was believed by many of the ancients to be where both the good and the bad went there. But they had different districts. There was like the better zone, right, the better neighborhood, and there was a worse neighborhood. And Rabbeinu Yeshua HaNotri, he brings out more of this ancient Yehudi idea, this Judaic idea, and even gives credence and credibility to it when he says that Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom, was in one part of town, right? But they obviously could see one another or communicate. Maybe there was some technology like we have today, right? Some social media, but there was this gap between the two. There was a gulf, right, between the two, right, where Abraham said to the rich man, who said, you know, this place I'm in is so hot and I'm thirsty. If I could just get like just a little bit of water, if you could just have Lazarus there in your bosom, just dip his finger in some water, and come and just bring that to me, this would be so refreshing. And Abraham said, well, you know, according to Yeshua, according to the Messiah, Yeshua HaNotri, the King of Kings Christ, what did he say? He said that, you know, there's this gap between us. There's this gulf, right? It's a very wide. Now, that's like a bore right there. That's like a pit, some really chasm, right, that was between the two, right? And therefore, nobody from his side could go to the next side, and nobody from the next side speaking about where the rich man that used to like to wear purple, like the purple lights, IUICs, where he was, could get to him. And then, of course, if you read more and hear more, you hear where Yeshua spoke about how the rich man said, well, if that's so, well, send somebody, you know, to my, I have some brothers, and they're going to end up in the same place, warn them. And that's when we get the, you know, the reasonment that even if somebody was sent from the dead to warn people in the land of the living, some people are so set on their astray way that, you know, they would not even heed that. But what Yeshua describes, right, in the Brit, right, Chadasha, in the Renewed Covenant, New Testament writings, is not something that he just made up or was made up or something that was understood, right, to the Yehudim of, you would say, the Old Testament times, and especially of the Apocryphal, right, the Middle Testament times, the parts they take out of many Bibles between Malachi, right, and Matthew, books like Maccabees and other documents. So I just wanted to zoom in on that right there because it's somewhat dubious when you read the translation, you hear the translation read where it says, and they go down quick into the pit. It should more better read, and they go down alive, and alive they go down into Sheol, into the afterlife in that sense. So what's very interesting is to look at what the so-called Mitzrayim understandings, where they was for 430 or so years, look at their understandings of it, or the various different, you know, theologies. Like we have different forms of, like, say, Christianity. Not everybody is a Baptist or Methodist or Episcopalian or non-denominational or what have you. But we have the Sheol. So this was the abode for the dead, both the righteous dead and the wicked dead. And Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, he gives light to that in the Brit Chadasha. This was a place of no return. This was a place that was said to be without praise of Elohim. This is a place where the wicked, the Rasha, was sent for punishment, right? Like we have with the rich man in the Mashal of Yeshua, the parable of Yeshua. And also the righteous, the Tzadikim, the righteous, were not to be abandoned to it. It's like when Dawid has in one of the Psalms, you will not abandon, like, the soul of your beloved one. You abandon it, abandon her, the soul, she, the soul, right? His soul, which is she, you will not abandon her in Sheol. So the righteous were there and the wicked were there. And what Yeshua brings out within his mashal in the New Testament scriptures is that there was two neighborhoods. Now we also have, is it the gospel according to Nicodemus, one of the early, we could say, church works, you know, from the early centuries that was known to the early Nazarenes and the early Messiahites called Christians. You know, that's a very interesting document right there because it shows what the events that also occurred after the crucifixion, the death, and the entombment, say so-called the burial or the entombment of Yeshua HaNotri, right? What happened on the psychical level, right? Or the soul level where Yeshua, we even have a hint to this in the New Testament. I think even Brother Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. Paul, speaks about it, right? You know, where, like, who will bring Christ down from the Shemayim, the heavens, or bring him up from Sheol, right? Messiah up from Sheol. So this was a place of psychic exile, a place of, like, soul exile. This is a place that was conceived by many of the ancients in different ways. And here in the Hebrew scriptures, right, we get a point of reference as a place of exile for the departed souls. So the souls that sought to live righteous or were deemed righteous, they would be proverbially in the bosom of Abraham, in the bosom of the exalted father. Because when we say Abraham and we start to reason on scripture, we know we're talking about the man Abraham, but also within the Chokmah, the wisdom of Yahuwah, we see in the name Abraham means the exalted father. And therefore the exalted father of fathers is Yahuwah himself. So to bring out where the righteous would be, right, they would not be abandoned, you know, to that exile or in that Sheol, right? but the wicked, the ratchet, will be punished. So this was seen as, by some, a subterranean retreat, underworld. Some equated when people were buried in the ground, that their bodies were in the ground and their psyches went to this underworld known as Sheol, to the Hebrews known as Duat, to the Smitawians, the Mitzrayim, the Kemetiu, the ancient Egyptians, known as Hades, Hades, Hades called Hades, to the Yonawian, to the original Greeks who were, you know, a melanated people, and then the latter Hellenistic people adopted that, like European Christians adopted this African Shemitic way, right? The world of the dead, right? Both the righteous and the ratchet, including its accessories and inmates. Now, I'm giving a little bit of a reasoning on that, because who went down? Well, it was Korah, and it said that all that appertaineth to him, right? And there was what? There was Datan and Abiram, the Reubenites. But check this. What about the sons of Korah? Remember, there were the sons of Korah, right? Because we have psalms that are called, you know, to the sons of Korah, Libnei, Korah. What about the sons of Korah? So here, if we go to the scripture, we have the sons of Korah right here where it says, let me bring this out right here, where it speaks about how the sons of Korah died not, right? The sons of Korah, they died not. But their father and enough of their family members did. This is also what brings out the righteousness of the 10 words called the 10 commandments. You know what I mean? So check this out. When Moshe said, Suruna, get away, come away, depart y'all from the tents of these wicked, these ratchet men, so you don't be consumed in like their judgment and everything, what Moshe just is speaking about even right here, right? And the people, it says, moved away. The people that still were against Moses and Aaron because of this rebellion, this crazy bald-headed Israelite rebellion that's going on, when Moses said what he said and he told them, depart from amongst them, the people departed. But also the sons of Korah also must have departed. Think about this right here. The sons of Korah, right, must also have departed from amongst them. You know, this is the key thing right there, because we have them later on testified to in the scripture and in many, many of the Psalms. In many of the Psalms, it speaks about the sons of Korah. If I'm correct, Shemuel, Samuel, I think he was a descendant. Was it Samuel? Right, of Korah as well, but through the sons of Korah. So that means that when the rest of the people departed from being nearby the congregation of the tents of Korah, Datan, and Abiram, the sons of Korah had to make a very important decision. Right? You remember the whole thing about the third and the fourth generation? When we go to Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, we get the 10 words. Right, calls the Ten Commandments. Let's go to this word right here, where it says, ensuing mercy, or let's go to this part. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Right, for I be he who he be, thy Elohim, am a zealous El, power, almighty, visiting the iniquity. You see that? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers. Like Korah, their patriarch, his iniquity here narrated in the fourth book of Moshe, upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. Now, somebody just stops there and say, well, how come the children had to be judged because the father was judged? No. Reading comprehension, right, is an art, right? Because some are trying to claim that listening is an art, you know, like, yes, that's true, but that's a kind of an old, you know, saying, but a true saying. It's an art and a science. So here, it says the iniquity of the fathers, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, the patriarchs, upon the children, yes, to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. That means if your patriarch hate Yahuwah and you go along and you don't confess, right, and forsake their hatred of Jehovah, then when he visits the iniquity of the patriarch, since you're in the same iniquity as your forefathers, then so be it. That's why the next verse says right here, it says, ensuring mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So although they, in a sense, technically pertaineth to Korah, when Moshe gave that word, he gave that mercy call, you know, that was, I wouldn't call it a Hail Mary, so to speak, but, you know, in the good sense, you can look at it like that when he said, depart from the tents of these evil men so you don't get swallowed up in their judgment, right? When the earth opened her mouth, they too had a decision to make. In many of their psalms, the psalms that are themed for the sons of Korah, or concerning the sons of Korah, the various different psalms within them, within the text, there's a lot of reference to this kind of a Hebrew, for lack of a better word, since they did come out of Egypt and there were some, no doubt, influences, right, for better and for worse. We already get the worst there with the molten calf, and we see that judgment there, right? But on the level of even for the better, the Hebrews here have their own, you could say, understanding of this underworld, especially in the key words in Numbers chapter 16, verse 30. They went down alive. Now, many people say, well, they must have died afterward. Yes, they probably did. But because they went down alive, the earth swallowed them up alive. And because of the ancient ideas concerning this underworld, there is this kind of an underworld kind of narrative that comes out even for us in the overworld, where when we go through certain soul experiences, right, you'll find that even in the language of many of the psalms, it's bringing out that plight of one who had ended up, whether righteous or even ratchet, in that Sheol. So just to bring that out right there, brothers and sisters, the whole Sheol and using Numbers chapter 16, verse 30, and some of the translation confusions, some of the translation confusions that would allow ones or cause ones to miss a deeper understanding of it. First of all, the earth is she, the Adama. Remember, Adam came from the Adama. So the Adama, in one sense of speaking, could be, right, and would be Adam's mother. I would say, well, who is Adam's mother? The Adama, the earth opening her mouth and swallowing them up. When they go down quick, right, the word quick is they went down living. The pit is not the pit in the usual sense of Hebrew, but it is Sheol, the underworld where the righteous and the wicked went to as a point of reference. Yeshua HaNotzri, Jesus of Nazareth, when he speaks about, you know, Lazarus, that poor man, you know, the man outside the rich man's gate where they both died. One went to the bosom of Abraham, a good neighborhood, so to speak, and the other one went to a very hot, scorched, and not too good a neighborhood. And between the two of them, there was a pit. There was a gap, just to bring that out right there. That's why it says, then y'all shall understand that these men, right, like most ones would go down to Sheol, right, after they passed, whether they were righteous or wicked. These were seen to go down to Sheol, the Duat, the underworld, even while they lived. So they went down into death while living. Then y'all shall understand that these men have provoked, right? That provocation. They have provoked Yahuwah. So right here, let's go forward right here. Another verse from Torah to bring out this sense of going down and understanding. Deuteronomy 9 and 3, understand therefore this day that Yahuwah Eloheka, Jehovah thy Elohim, is he who goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. The other point from the previous aliyah where it spoke about, and I consume them. Ekale, 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 right? Akal, like to eat, before I eat them up, because here the sense and the conception of Yahuwah, right, as a consuming or an eating fire, right? He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shall thou drive them out and destroy them quickly. The sense of, you know, the provocation going down quickly, and Yahuwah, as Yahuwah have said to thee. One more verse right here, Deuteronomy 9 and 12 from the Torah, the next book. And Yahuwah said to me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people who thou hast brought forth, Mimitzrayim, have corrupted themselves. So Yah says there were 10 provocations up to the 12 spies and the 10 of them that brought back lies. And this is a major incident concerning the molten calf right here, right, as well. Just to bring out this sense right here of those who had corrupted, the key thing here is that Korah, from being in a good role and responsibility. Remember, the Kohathites were those that carried the very ark of the covenant itself, right? It could say herself, but right here, let's ride up right here for the first day, complete fulfill this aliyah right here, the aliyot right here from the Torah. Also, we have the prophet's reading, right? The prophet's reading and the New Testament reading. Right here, the prophet's reading, 1 Samuel chapter 11. Right here, for the first day.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, 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 Selah. Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the well. Therefore shall he lift up the head.
David Mizmor. Ne'um Adonai Ladoni Shev Limini Ad Ashit Oyvecha Hadom Leraglecha. מטה עוזך ישלח אדוני מציון, רדה בקרב אויביך. עמך נדבות ביום חיליך, בהדרי קודש מרחם משחר, לך טל ילדותך. נשבע אדוני ולא ינחם, אתה כהן לעולם. על דברתי מלכי צדק, אדוני על ימינך, מחת ביום אפו מלאכים. ידים בגויים מלא גביות, מחץ ראש על ארץ רבה, מנחל בדרך ישתה, על כן ירים ראש.
מזמור מתוזתן בקנף מתועסר የዳዊት መዝሙር እግዚአብሔር ጌታዬን ጠላቶችህን ለግርህ መረገጫ አስካደርግልህ ድረስ በቀኝህ ተቀመጥ አለው። እግዚአብሔር የኃይልን በትር ከጽዮን ይልክልሃል፣ በጠላቶችህም መካከል ግዛ። ካንተ ጋር ቀድሞ በኃይልህ ቀን በቅዱሳን ብርሃን ታጥቢያ ኮከብ አስቀድሞ ከሆድ ወለድኩ። እንደ መልከ ጼዴቅ ሥርዓት አንተ ለዘላለም ካህነህ ብሎ እግዚአብሔር ማለ አይጸጸት። እግዚአብሔር በቀኝህ ነገስታትን በቁጣው ቀል ይቀጠቅጣቸዋል፣ በአሕዛብ መካከል ይፈርዳል፣ ሬሳዎችንም ያበዛል፣ በሰፊ ምድር ላይ ራሶችን ይቀጠቅጣል፣ በመንገድ ከፈሳሽ ውሃ ይጠጣል። ስለዚህ ራስ ከፍ 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 ፈቃፍ 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 ከፍ
lift up the head, lift up the head, yes I lift up the eyes to far eye, yes I yeah I listen blind
striving for better, and we're not gonna stop till the battle is won and we get justice. 'Cause if you lose your stand, anyone will try to push you over, over and over. Lift up your head and hold it up high. We know that we'll win the prize. Lift up your head and hold it up high. We know that we'll win the prize. Don't be discouraged by the pitfalls and their worries. They endure for the night, for joy cometh in the morning. And if you lose your soul, there's nothing to gain, it will be over.
Someone to push you over. we're striving for better. And we're not gonna stop till the battle is won and we get justice. Cause if you lose control, they'll send someone to run you over, over and over. Lift up your head and hold it up high. We know that we'll win the prize. Lift up your head and hold it up high. We know that we'll win the prize. Lift up your head and hold it up high.
Baruch ata Adonai,
Baruch ata Adonai,
Baruch Abba Yerushalayim,
Baruch
ata Adonai, Baruch Abba Yerushalayim,
Baruch Yerushalayim.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
So here, I'm going to pick up the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. Sleeker, a little technical right here on the board.
Shema,
I'm going to pick up
Shema Yisrael. Give ear. And here, for this Shabbat of Korach, here, picking up with the fourth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that is called and known as Numbers. In the KJV, we are at Numbers chapter 17, the years of wandering. The third item here is Aharon, Aaron's rod that budded. Here in the KJV, the English Bibles, the King James Version, it's Numbers chapter 17, here for the Chamishi, Aliyah. But in the Hebrew, the Masoretic Torah text, or the Chumash, we are already in chapter 17, Numbers 17, verse 16. So in the Hebrew, for those following along in the Hebrew, it is Numbers chapter 17, the Hebrew Masoretic text, chapter 17, verse 16, for this Chamishi. But here in the KJV, that corresponds to the King James Version, chapter 17, verse 1. So Shema'a for this Chamishi Aliyah, offering up Anafora for this Shabbat Korach, Senbeta Korei. Picking up with Y Daberi Yahuwah El Moshe Leimor. And Yahweh spake to Moshe, spake to Moses, saying, Daber, il bnei Yisrael, wikach mei itama mate, li beita av, mei eita kol nesihehem, li beita botama, sheneim osara matot isha eta shemo, tiktov ala matehu. Here, picking up the KJV, Fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book of Numbers, chapter 17, verse 2. In the Chumash, the Hebrew, Numbers chapter 17, verse 17, speak, daber, speak to the children of Israel, daber, il b'nei Israel, take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers. Wikach meitama mateh mateh le beitav of all their princes according to the house of their fathers. 12 rods. Me'eta kola nisiehem li beita votama shenem asar matota isha eta shmo tikotov al matehu. Write thou, the eye, every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head, for the Rosh, for the Ras, for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation, the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, the tent of appointment, before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me, to cease from I, the murmurings of the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moshe spake to the Bnei Yisrael, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. For each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aharon was among their rods. And Moshe laid up the rods lifnei Yahuwah before Jehovah in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moshe went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, hine, the rod of Aharon for the house, the Beit of Levi, the house of Levi, was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moshe brought out all the rods from lifnei Yahuwah before Jehovah to all the Bnei Yisrael, to all the children, the sons of Israel. And they looked and took every man his rod. And here, for the Sheishi. Here we have the Sheishi, or the sixth Aliyah, the sixth offering up, Anafora, for this Shabbat Korach, Senbet Korei. Here at verse 10 in the KJV, King James Version, it will be Numbers, fourth book of Moses, Hebrew book called Numbers, chapter 17, at verse 10, for the Sheishi. In the Masoretic text, in the Hebrew, the Chumash, it will be Numbers chapter 17 here at verse 25. So the correspondence for the realignment of the verses right here. Here picking up with the KJV, the English Bible, Numbers chapter 17 at verse 10. The Hebrew first word right here. Vayomer Yahweh el Moshe ha-shev et ha-mateh Aharon lifnei ha-edut. Le misha mereta le ot livne meri u tikal te lu notama me alai we lo yamutu. And the Yahweh said to Moshe, to Moses, why o meri Yahweh il Moshe, bring Aharon's rod again before the testimony, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony. Ha-shev, ha-shev, eta mate Aharon lifnei ha-edut. To be kept for a token against the rebels. To be kept for a token against the rebel. Le mishmereta leot livnei mari. To be kept for a token against the sons of bitterness. The bnei, vnei mari. The bnei mari. The sons of bitterness, the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings. Thou shalt quite take away utkalate luonotam me alai from me, from I, that they die not ulo yamutu. And Moshe did so. As Yahweh commanded him, so did he. And the Bnei Yisrael, the children, the sons of Yisrael, spake to Moshe, saying, behold, we, I and I die. We, I and I perish. We, I and I all perish. Behold, we die. We're lost. We're all lost. Whosoever cometh anything near to the tabernacle of the Yahweh, Yahweh, Jehovah, shall die. Shall we, I and I, be consumed with dying? And here, fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Numbers. At chapter 18, both the English KJV, King James Version, as well as the Hebrew, the Masoretic text, the Chumash, are aligned again. So both we are in chapter 18 according to the Masoretic, the Hebrew text, and according to the King James Version, the translation, here at chapter 18. The wandering, the years of wandering, 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 wandering. Continuing in the theme of the years of wandering, the fourth item, Aharon, Aaron, and the Levite, Halloween, the Lewawian confirmed in their privileges and responsibilities. And the Yahweh said to Aharon, thou, the I, and thy sons, and thy father's bait, thy father's house with thee, I, shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou, the I, and thy sons with thee, I, shall bear the iniquity of your kahuna, your kahunat, your priesthood, and thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou, the I, with thee, I, that they may be joined to thee, I, and minister to thee, I, but thou and thy sons with thee, I, shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. And they shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come near the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar ha-mizbeah, that neither they nor ye all also die. And they shall be joined to thee, I, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle. And a stranger shall not come near to you, to the I. And ye all shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of ha-mizbeach, of the altar, that there be no wrath, no rot, any more upon the Bnei Yisrael, upon the children, the sons of Yisrael. And I, hine, behold, I have taken your brethren, Halloween, the Lewawian, the Levites, from among the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of children of Israel, to you they are, given as a gift for the Yahweh to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, the aggregation. Therefore thou, the I, and the I sons, thy sons with thee I, shall keep your priest's office for everything of ha-mizbeach, of the altar, and within the veil, and ye all shall serve. I have given your priest's office to you as a service of gift. And the stranger that cometh nigh near shall be put to death. And Yahweh and Jehovah spake to Aharon, and Hine, behold, look, see, here it is. I also have given thee, I, the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things, set apart things of the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, the children of Yisrael. To thee, I, have I given them by reason of the anointing. And to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, the most set apart things, reserved from the fire. Every oblation of theirs, every meal, mincha, meal offering, grain offering of theirs, and every chatat, sin, akri, offering of theirs, and every trespass, asham, guilt, offering of theirs, which they shall render to me, to I, shall be most holy, most set apart for thee, I, and for the I sons, thy sons. In the most set apart holy place shalt thou eat it. Every male, zakar, shall eat it. It shall be holy, set apart to thee, I. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the Bnei Yisrael. I have given them to thee, I, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, I, by a statute for Iva. Everyone that is clean in Beit Tekah, in the I Beit, in the I house, shall eat of it, all the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, the first fruits of them, which they shall offer to the Yahweh, them have I given thee, I. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring to the Yahweh, shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in thine house, Beit Tekah, in the I Beit, shall eat of it. Everything, everything, everything devoted, I voted in Yisrael, shall be thine. Everything that openeth the matrix of all flesh, which they bring to the Yahweh, whether it be of man or beast, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man, of man, shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beast shalt thou redeem, and thou and those, Lika, and those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem, according to thine estimation, according to thine valuation, for the money of 5 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. They are set apart. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon ha-mizbeach, and shalt burn their fat for an offering made by fire, for a sweet savor, la-Yahuwah, to Jehovah. And the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breasts and as the right shoulder are thine. All the heave offerings of the holy things, the holy things, the holy things which the Bnei Yisrael offer, la-Yahuwah, to Jehovah, have I given thee, I, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, I, by a statute forever, forever. It is a covenant of salt forever, lifne Yahuwah, before Jehovah, to thee, I, and to thy seed with thee, I. And the Yahweh spake to Aharon, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the Bnei Yisrael, among the sons, among the children of Yisrael. 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 Yisrael.
We find your peace are unmovable. God bless you for coming to the show tonight. God bless your day, today, today. God bless you. God bless you.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad, Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Give ear, give ear, give ear, and hear. Shema, and hear for the Shabi'i, Aliyah, 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 for this Shabbat Korach, Senbet, Korei, here at the Shabi'i, Aliyah. Here, picking up with the fourth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that's called Numbers, Numbers chapter 18, here at verse 21, Numbers 18 and 21, for the Shabi'i, the seventh Aliyah, offering up anaphora for this Shabbat, Shabbat Korah. With Livne Lewi, Hine, Natati Akola Ma'eser Bi Yisrael Li Nahala Cheleka E Bodata Ma'asher Haina Obdim Eta E Bodat Ohel Moed. And behold, I have given the children, the Vinei Lewi, the sons of Levi, all the tenth in Yisrael for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, of the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, the tent of appointment. Neither must the children of Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael, henceforth from here forward come near the tabernacle of the congregation, the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, lest they be a chati'at, ukri, sin, and die. But ha-lewim, the Levites, the Lewawian, shall do the service of the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of the aggregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the Bnei Yisrael, the sons and children of Yisrael, they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering, La Yahuwah to Jehovah, I have given to Ha-Lewim, to the Lewawian, to the Levites, to inherit. Therefore I have said to them, among the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. And Yahweh spake to Moshe, Lamor, saying, thus, like this, speak to Ha-Lewim, the Levites, the Lewawian, and say to them, when y'all take of the Bnei Yisrael, the sons and children of Yisrael, the tithes, which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye y'all shall offer up as a heave offering of it for LaYahuwah, for Jehovah, even a tenth part of the tithes. And this, your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the corn, the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the wine press. Thus, like this, ye y'all shall offer an heave offering, La Yahuwah, a teruma, La Yahuwah, of all your tithes, which ye y'all receive of the Bnei Yisrael, the sons and children of Yisrael, and ye y'all shall give thereof the Yahweh's heave offering, teruma, to Aharon HaKohen, Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts, ye shall offer every heave offering, La Yahuwah, of Jehovah, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part, the set apart part thereof, out of it. And here, and here for the maftir, here for the maftir at verse 30. With Amarta Elehem, ba here, rima kemaeta chelbo, Miyamenu, we nechav Lala Lalawim Kita Kita Bu At Go Ren We Kita Bu At Ya Av. Therefore thou shalt say to them, when ye all have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted to the Lewim, to the Levites, Lalawim, as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the Ohel Moed, in the tent of meeting, in the tabernacle of the aggregation. And ye, y'all, shall bear no chatiyat, no sin, no uckery by reason of it, when ye, y'all, have heaved, gifted from it the best of it. Neither shall ye all pollute the holy things, the holy things, the holy things of the B'nai Yisrael, of the sons, the children of Yisrael, Kabur lak alu, kabur adinsu, kabur lahaylu. Glory to the word, glory to the sound, glory to the power. Kabur le abinu, le melkeinu. Glory be to I, my father, I, my king. Kabur le kadamawi, chay le selassie. Glory be to the first power of the Trinity. Beshem Yeshu, ah, ha-moshiach. In the name of Getachina, mechanetachina, and our Lord and Savior, in the name of Jesus Christos. After the reading of a section of HaTorah, the law, the following baraka, the following blessing is said, Baruch Ata Yahuwah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Blessed art thou, he who be, who he be, I and I, Elohim, true good, true God, King of the universe, universal King, who has given us the law, HaTorah, of truth, and has planted everlasting life in Einai midst. Baruch Ata Yahuwah, Noten HaTorah, blessed art thou, Adonai, who givest Einai the Torah, the directions, the instructions. Jaloh. Wa'imru, Amen.
Baruch Ata Adonai.
Rastafari.
Baruch Ata Yahweh. Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher natan lanu Torat emet Vayeolam metei Vatokanu. Baruch Ata Yahweh Noten haTorah Sheila.
Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, Shavua, the week, the 7 days, Tov, Tawa, beautifully good here as we beginning here at the first day, also proverbially known as the eighth day in the holy season where we go through a whole Shavua. Sometimes the first day is called the eighth day, just pointing to Psalm 6 there, Al HaShemanit, but here, Sabbath seal song. This is after the Shabbat here on the first day, right here, 144.
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd, one shepherd, one shepherd, one shepherd, one shepherd, one shepherd, one
shepherd. David, the greater David, Zion and King, one shepherd. Yes, I onward to 21st. To 21st century, O Adonai, Adonai. Hoshiana. That was Dejana right there. There's there, Dejana. Solomon Jabi right there for a tune called Adonai.
Yes, stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brita Hadasha. Aliot, 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 Aliot.
And here, here, the Baraka, the blessing for the reading of the Haftarah. And the prophet's reading right here. We have Yesai, Shemuel, but first
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Asher bachar b'nebiim tovim Veratzah b'debreihim Hane'amarim ba'emet Baruch atah Adonai Habocher b'torach U'moshe abdo U'b'Israel ammo U'b'nebiei ha'emet wa'tzedek. Blessed art the I, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art the I, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What does Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Achad, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. What does that really mean? And why is it important, 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 important?
Baruch Ata Adonai. Baruch Abba Yerushalayim. Baruch Ata Adonai. Baruch Abba Yerushalayim.
Thank you.
Yes, Burning Spear right there, the Wilderness live with Harry in Paris right there, live right there, Wilderness here, we're in this Wilderness narrative. Some technical difficulties, a standby, Haftarah, Brit Chadash, coming forward, his culture, Wilderness team.
Great job, we provide great advice,
And the Brita Hadash Aliot, 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 Aliot.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohenu, Adonai Echad,
Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad,
Adonai Echad.
First Samuel, chapter 11, verse 14, to chapter 12, verse 22. That's a ma'avubalepmefesakadus, ahadu imla. Then said Samuel to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Shaul king the goose lift Yahweh before Yahweh in Gilgal, and there they sacrificed the peace offerings before Yahweh. And there Shaul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Chapter 12. And Samuel said to all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened to your voice, and all that you said to me have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before Yahweh and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith, and I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said to them, Yahweh Buruku is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Samuel said to the people, It is Yahweh Buruku that advanced Moses and Haron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before Yahweh of all the righteous acts of Yahweh Buruku, which he did to you and to your fathers, when Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried to Yahweh. Then Yahweh sent Moshe and Haron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot Yahweh their Elohim, he sold them into the hand of Caesarea, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried to Yahweh, and said, We have sinned because we have forsaken Yahweh, and have served Balaim and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And Yahweh sent Yerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelt safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said to me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when Yahweh your Elohim, Baruch, who was your king. Now therefore behold, the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired, and behold, Yahweh Baruch Hu have set a king over you. If you will fear Yahweh and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of Yahweh, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following Yahweh Elohim. But if you will not obey the voice of Yahweh, Buruku, but rebel against the commandment of Yahweh, then shall the hand of Yahweh be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which Yahweh will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call to Yahweh, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of Yahweh, Buruku, in asking you a king. So Samuel called to Yahweh, Buruku, and Yahweh sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared Yahweh, Buruku, and Samuel. Amen.
The world in a total when word sound and power and vocal then to my people who are far and local live clean and stop live local then mother earth are your goal and opal Babylon kill your pitney a oval see the curry na the cold with the old van them panic the curry that my people are old and boom Oh,
tyrannical. Rastafari my king iconical. But room still a war tyrannical. And the children scare titanical. When rains all far down torrential. Babylon war hold on potential. Innocent fools serve a detention. Only Jack can preserve intention. About the nation, to the African appear frustration. From slavery they build plantation. Them straight fear situation. Every day them have in trampation. When the lynch come bring separation. No writing of them declaration. So me burn Christmas celebration.
Yes, yes, yes. The Haftarah prophet's reading right there. First Samuel, Shemuel, chapter 11, focus verses, verse 14 to chapter 12, verse 22. Give thanks, Rastahar Ahad, Emerald Music, INC there for the read and co-laborers here for the support here on the podcast. First day service. First day.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot. Aliyot. Aliyot.
Fire burning. Kuya, 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 kuya. Kuya.
Perfect. Blessed. Bofaya.
Nothing to confuse about dearest. Well, me say nothing fool no quarrel about. Got from your clean, said the fire now go burn your whole dearest. Well, nothing fool no worry about dearest. Nothing to confuse about dearest. Well, me say nothing fool no quarrel about. Can't even let the dirty, said the fire still a purge out. Now I got same bread. But the fire got burn them bread. And the same fire got burn them bread. Hey, give me the fire, make me serve them. Hey, give me the, hey, give me the, yo! One fire children, you feel come on the fire jump. Come on the fire school, say fire education. Me teach a fire woman and me teach a fire man. Give them the fire foot, give them the fire hand. Well, me a fire hood when me give them the jam. And I me give them the fire meditation. Gun Babylon, gun Scotland, gun Pentagon, gun Vatican, gun confusion, gun disillusion, gun temptation, gun destruction, gun pollution, gun malfunction, gun temptation, gun disillusion. Burn corruption, the Queen of England, burn Scotland, John Paul II, burn everything we're wrong, and burn them clan, burn confusion, and burn Satan, and we go burn Bugaman, burn lesbian, them who agree with me would not push up on the hand, yo, kuya, 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 when they see me with the fire, kuya, 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 again. Kuya 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 when me see me with the fire. Kuya 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 when me burn the world a walker. Kuya 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 when me burn the vampire. Kuya 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 again. Not no fool no worry about David. Nothing to confuse about David. We not no fool no quarrel about. Got on your clean set the fire now go burn your whole David. Not no fool no worry about David. Nothing to confuse about David. We not no fool no quarrel about. Kuya 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 when they see me with the fire. Kuya kuya kuya. Wala 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 wala. Yeah. Yeah. Yo. I want that same bread. But the fire got burnt them bread. And the same fire got burnt them bread. Hey, give me the fire, make me serve them. Hey, give me the, hey, give me the, hey, give me the power again bread. But the fire got burnt them bread. And the same fire got burnt them bread. Hey, give me the fire, make me serve them. Hey, give me the, yo, yo. Well, me say, who fight the fire? Them same one go bow up. Who fight? fight the fire, them same one go corrupt. Who fight the fire, them same one don't give up. Who fight the fire, them same one go give up. Who fight the fire, them same one go blow up. Who fight the fire, them go lick up and mash up. Who fight the fire, same one a big up pack up. Who fight the fire, them same one go yo, yo. Kuya 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 when them see me with the fire. Kuya 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 when me bunny vampire. Kuya 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 when me bunny backstabber. You them kuya 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 get. Kuya 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 when they see me with the fire. Kuya 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 when me bunny will be woke up. Kuya 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 when me bunny vampire. You them kuya kuya. When you're training, you come to the fire school. Emperor Celestia, yeah, he teach me the rule. Fire with me like no woman man can't cool. Fire with me like no mama girl can't cool. This is Celestia, yeah, this is a fool. Can't come sit up on the king like the fool. Emperor Celestia, yeah, he teach me the rule.
Kuya, 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 kuya. Yeah. Cora and his co-conspirators get bun right here in this 38th. But here, first day service. Here we have the Brit Chadasha, the new covenant reading here, here, here. First day service here. Sunday service, some might say, on the Sunday. Look at the time. The time moved fast right here. So let's ride up here, Brit Chadasha, for the first day, even for the Shabua. Yes, I.
The Brit Chadasha, Chadis Kidan, renewed covenant reading for RSS number 38, Korah.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech ha'olam. Asher natan lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabaruch Shel Habarik ha'hadasha. Baruch atah Adonai Notain Habarik ha'hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha, Chadis Kidan, renewed covenant reading for RSS number 38, Korach. From the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 13, focus verses 1 through 7. We'll be reading the fuller full. We begin B'Shem Ha'ab V'Habein V'Ruach HaKadosh Yahweh Ahad. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, Aleph. Verse 2, Beit. Verse 3, Gimel. Kol nefesh tikna'o l'gdulat ha'rashuyot ki ein rashut ki im et ha'elohim. והרשויות הנמצאות על יד אלוהים נתמנו. לכן כל המתקומם לרשות ממרה את פי האלוהים, והממרים יסעו את עונם. כי אין פחד השליטים על עושי הטוב, כי אם על עושי הרע, ועל כן אם הרצונקה שלה תרע מן הרשות עושי הטוב, והיה לך שבח מאיתה. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of Elohim. The powers that be are ordained of Elohim. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of Elohim, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of Elohim to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. for he is a minister of Elohim, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are Elohim's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. The law of love toward the neighbor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on Ha Adon Yeshua HaMashiach, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Kaburulakalu, Kaburuladimtu, Kaburulakhailu, Kaburulakedamawi, Haile Selassie, by Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Yes, yes, yes. Give thanks right there from Romans, a full of full of Romans. Fire, fire, holy fire right there. Give
we
thanks.
Have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, Xiavi, Yemesken, Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos.
Love one another.
I like the giraffe, vintage of rain shower, Makalito Adawa, love you one another, love you one another, love you one another, take his water enemy, give it, give it free, love you one another, love you one another. Love me one another, love me one another. Cycle of ancestral, Abuna and Ababa, Maguire soldier. What about the Viper? Love me one another, love me one another. Could be the latest of the night, and in the earliest of the morning, might be there for your need. Treat them right all the time. One another, love you one another, love you one another. What a vibe, but not a lawa. Send up a vibe throughout the struggle. To help one each other, Instagram, my vinegar, what a power over, the ocean of fire, the
water. From below come the artist lover, busting out of world to conquer. Love me one another. Love you one another. Love you one another. Love you one another. In the latest of the night, in the early morning time, might be there for your need. Treat them right all the time.
Yeah, it's midnight. I came back on Benjamin right there. Love one another. So here, Chan, we're already in the grace period of this podcast here. So you'd like to share this audible here for this 38th Cora. And the theme here is you are not what your father is, respectfully, necessarily, not always, right? Here we have the sons of Cora as an example, sample and example. You are not what your father is always. Sons of Cora.
Yes, no, the catching color.
Shabua picking up Numbers chapter 16, verse 1 to chapter 18, verse 32. All right, now we went over a synopsis, a basic overview, and it's important to go over the overview because there's a lot that's going on here. But even this 38th sabbatical study, it is in the continuity. So sometimes for continuity's sake, you know, we have to kind of link and meditate and think on, okay, what was the previous? Where did it, you know, end off from the previous? So in the last sabbatical strong for Shelach, the previous, it had told the narrative of the tragic story about the, quote, sin of the 10 spies. So who were the 10 spies? What does it mean, Chabarim, when we talk about the 10 spies? One should already understand, well, these were the 10, right, of the 12 that brought back the evil report, right, concerning the land, the Canaan, the Canaan land, the Afro-Canaanite land that discouraged the children of Israel. Now, we make a likeness with some of the camps, the One Westerners, you know, One West, ISUBK, others, for what they have said over the years concerning Africa and, you know, some of the over-generalizations. But we also apply this right here in HaTorah, in the scripture, even to I and I, right? We, the black people of the world, and especially vis-a-vis the Ethiopian, right? Are you not as the children of the Ethiopians, the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, and also in particular, right, to the elect, to I and I, of the new name, the precious name, I and I, Rastafari. This is what I and I... So in the previous Shabbat Shelach, right, we had a tragedy there. Right? They're on their way. They're on their way. Right? They're on their way. They already did the pedigree. You know the pedigree, right? You know about the One Westerners, the Israelite chart. What you think about that? Right? You're going to reason some more on the Israelite chart, right? So that the One West, ISUPK, the other, you know, Israelites, they put forth this particular chart. Many people say it's fake, it's false, it's not right, but I like to reason on, well, what is right? Take a different, you know, a good eye approach. What is right about the 12 tribes chart, right? But let's just put that right there. The reason why I mention it is because in this fourth book of Moshe, in Numbers chapter 1, verse 18, right, this is the particular verse that they point to. When ones and ones will question, well, I'm black, you know, my people coming up from plantation and this experience for 400 years, am I Israelite? And they might point to that chart, and then they'll bring out the verse from Numbers chapter 1, verse 18. But there's a context they miss. There's a context they miss concerning, right, what that is saying, right? Yes, those who could trace their pedigree from the 12 patriarchs, the 12 sons, the Bnei Yaakov, the sons of Jacob, a.k.a. the Bnei Yisrael, yes, they are Israelites, but why is that count being counted? Why is that census being taken? For what purpose? And who are they? And how does that connect with those who later on would slander the Afro-Canaanite land, as many ones have slandered even the Africa land, you know, being Israelites and Africans and, you know, all the Mahamites. But then we get to find out, well, the continent was kind of forced the name Africa, you know, vis-a-vis the Belgium Conference, as the maps clearly show, right? We have Ethiopia, right? We have Upper Ethiopia, Lower Ethiopia. Even one map has said Negro land, right? But then later on, they imposed that particular name, Africa, right? And then later on, right, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, right, in their perversion of Christianity, they say, well, you see Noah? He had three sons, right? Right, they say Ham, Shem, and Japheth. I say, no. The scripture says Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Just keep it right and accurate. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But then they say, well, yeah, that right. But one was white, and one was black, and one was nondescript. Or one was white, one was black, and one was maybe yellow or Asian. Or, you know, this confusion. And many people believe, right, those of us who ascribe, you know, say truth, right, to the true contents of the scripture, they'll say, oh, so you believe one was one man and one woman had one black baby, one white baby, and one kind of nondescript baby. So, see, we have to weed off of that right there. You know, so it's study to shew ourselves approved. But it's that verse in Numbers chapter 1, verse 18. Note that particular verse there, right? Because they use that verse, right, to try to say, well, you are what your father is. And that doctrine is not scriptural. Right? That doctrine is not scriptural. Even in the 10 words, look at the 10 words. It says that he will visit the iniquity of the fathers, right, to the sons. And KJV says children. The Hebrew says banim. To the sons, right, of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So if the fathers are committing uchery, this shows that they hate him, whether consciously or unconsciously. And if the children do the same uchery, well, then they prove they're like their fathers, right? But then, right, so the scripture does show that example. But then over here, even this Torah reading and feeding for Shabbat Korah, what about Korah? What about Korah, right? I guess the sons of Korah were just like their father, right? If that doctrine that many of the One Westerners, One West Israelites, you know, on this point, we say they ain't right. You know, you're not what your father is. And if that's true, and they say, I'm an Israelite, I am what my father is, and you see this 12-tribe chart right here, well, then I have a question. So your father was an Israelite. Your father acknowledged that he was an Israelite, and he taught you to be an Israelite. Or is your father, is the father like what the son is? You see, by making this doctrine and trying to superimpose this doctrine in an easy-peasy way, well, you are what your father is, but then we can show you countless examples, right, within the scriptures. And this is a very good example right here in this 38th sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong concerning Korah, right, because we have the sons of Korah. You know, as we study the daily Psalms and the Midrash and go into the studies of the Psalms, we get to recognize that in the superscription, right, to many of the Psalms, many key and crucial Psalms, they are subscribed in Hebrews, the first verse was a superscription of the title in the KJV, not included in the King James versions as a verse, but in the Hebrew, included as the very first verse, we find Psalms, right, sons of Korah. Now, we know that Korah and the 150 men, right, that wanted to offer incense and kind of hijacked the leadership and the high priestship of Yisrael, they went up against Moshe. Look at their numbers. Some judge ones by numbers and say, well, look at those Israelites there. They got a lot of numbers. Well, yes, that is good for them in righteousness. You hear? That is good for them in righteousness. It's bad for them if it's not in righteousness. Because we have 250 men, right, with Korah, Datan, and Abiram, right? And the scripture says that the earth opened up. First, the fire burned these over there. Then the earth opened up and swallowed up the whole camp. The, you know, it says that all that pertaineth to them. So if Korah, the patriarch, was swallowed up, he was the ringleader, and Datan and Abiram, they was his co-conspirators, and the 250 Israelites, 50 Israelites that wanted to offer incense. See, there's a message here, you know, because remember the double-edged sword, right? If it's right, it cuts when it goes in, it cuts when it comes out. So it's not just to the One West Israelites and the ISUPK. They're wrong on that right there. But then there's a question here that comes up to I and I as Rastafari and some things that we have said. Well, if the herb Right? We say the herb is the Aishans, right? And the Aishans is a holy thing. Some of that reasoning sounds a lot like those who were in rebellion against the rightful authority of Moshe, of Moses, and Aharon, and Aaron, the Moshiach, the Messiah. We could say the Hebrew Christ, right, in the camp. So we're going to reason on these things right here because study to shew ourselves approved, as I and I, Godfather and King of Kings, Ahasuerus Selassie said to I, and we, for my part, I glory in the Bible. So let's study the scripts. The previous, we had the 10 spies, right, and the divine decree that generation, the generation of the Israelites that were rescued from Egypt, from Mitzrayim, from Komet or Kemet, if you please, from Kemet, they were sentenced to die while in the exile in the Midbar, while they was in the exile in the wilderness, in the wilderness. Does this sound anywhat familiar? Right? When we look at the fact that there were lands given to us as footholds of the promised land, like Shashimani, for more than 40 years, but we see one generation gone, and we still, the children are still wandering here in the wilderness of North America. So what has gone wrong? I get to hear one say, oh, there was 12 pioneer settlers, right, for on the Shashimani land grant. That is interesting, right? Really, because there was 12 spies that went into the land. Right? Then some say, well, there was a 10 that outnumbered the 2. That's interesting, because right here as well we have 10, the 10 spies that outnumber the 2. But the 10 spies have brought back an evil report that discouraged the people from going forward and going into the land. So now we look at it now, most of us are still here in this North Country and in the wilderness of the Americas and the Caribbean. So we can learn a lot about sustainable repatriation. Everybody talk about repatriation is a must, the teaching of His Majesty, Allah Salazar, we should listen to the king, this and that and the next thing. But it's the basic milk, right? You know, it's the milk. It's like, you know, milk is good, the milk of the word, right? Even that mother's milk, the milk of HaTorah, the basics, right? So that our bones and our structure can grow, our teeth can grow. Can you imagine? You grow up, but your bones are still soft, right? You know, your teeth are not really strong, right? You know what I'm saying? So we have to deal with the milk of the word. Let's deal with some milk of the word, some basic teaching of the word. So that brings us here from the previous tragedy and kind of going astray. It's almost like one stumbling causes a falling, causes another stumbling. You know, it's like in those movies where you see in those movies sometimes. And it's really tragic if you see it in real life. Somebody, like, falls down the steps. You know, like, but I put it in the movie sense because sometimes you see in the movie and it looks a little bit comical, right? And somebody's falling down the steps and you think, like, okay, they just fell a little bit and it's going to stop. But they keep falling. They keep going. They keep going down. It's like even when they try to so-called break their fall, the way they try to break their fall contributes to them falling more. This is what we see happening here in the wilderness with the Israelites, that generation that he brought out, of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, out of the Egypta, Het Kapita, right, out of Mitzrayim, out of Kometz, Maitawi, what's the real name? Come on now. I mean, even the Egyptians had many names. We call it Mitzrayim and Kemet. That generation he brought out of Egypt, he was not pleased with them. For them to enter in, right? For them to enter in into the promised land. In fact, he wanted to destroy them. For one main reason we get in the previous Shalach, one main reason that resonates with us today and many of our Israelite brethren and many of the camps, this is the One West camps, that slandering, right, of the land. You know, oh, Africa, it's not about Africa. But notice, they'll point to Numbers, chapter 1, verse 18. You put that into the context of the script. Those are the ones who could trace their lineage, right, to the 12 patriarchs. Therefore, they both had a right and a responsibility. The responsibility was to fight. Thus, the numbering we get for the army, for the host that would have to go into the land, right, to drive out the previous occupants. That's the whole reason for the numbering. That's the whole reason for seeing, well, who's who pedigree, right? Who is your father? Because Jah had promised it right, the land, right, to that seed, and particularly to the faithful seed, right, of the Hebrew Trinity, the Hebrew patriarchal Trinity, triunity of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So now it comes down to Jacob, Jacob Yisrael. Now it comes down to his 12 sons. Now it comes down to descendants who could prove the descendancy to those 12 sons. They would have the duty and responsibility to be the strike force in the land, the Canaanite land, right, to capture the land, to drive out the previous occupants, basically to do the work of inheritance, according to the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew scripture, in the land of Canaan. This is why it lists them and it says their pedigree. Because only those Israelites that could trace their descendancy, right, to the 12 patriarchs would have land title. That's the reason why we have Numbers chapter 1, verse 18. It wasn't to say who's an Israelite. They say that, but it's not to say who's an Israelite, because then we'll point out the scripture where it says one Lord to the homeborn and to the stranger, right, that sojourns with you. Let me ask you a question. You remember David? King David? You remember David's worst sin, worst crime, right? The adultery and the murder. Mm-hmm. The adultery of Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. Let me ask you a question. Was Uriah an Israelite? ISUPK, One West, Brother Captain Azania. He might not be listening right now, but hopefully, you know, he can check this out, or those that can share. Captain Azariah, was Uriah an Israelite? Was Bathsheba an Israelite? We can point to a lot of ones who were Israelites. They were Israelites in that sense of strangers who sojourn with them. This is like when you go to a country, you're not really originally from there. Like people come to America, right? They may not have been born here, don't have deep roots here, but they get what they call it again, nationalized, right? They basically, you know, pledge allegiance. You know, that's what it says, one law, one Torah shall be to the homie, right, the homeborn, and to the stranger that sojourns, right, that dwells with you. Not the other strangers, but the strangers that, it's like when one comes to America, right, and they want to become a citizen, and they learn all about America and whatever qualification rules, whatever, and they pledge allegiance. Right? Their people didn't come from England on the Mayflower or whatnot like that and got a charter from England to set up a colony over here. You know what I mean? That's why when you look at America, who were the ones that were in charge in America? It was, they say, the rich, land-holding, slave-owning white men, right? That's what they say, right? And those particular rich white men who had wealth, who had position, who owned land, they also were the ones who could vote, because they were considered to be those who were descended from the original patriarchs, right? So that is the same it's a very ancient context to go beyond the white man, you know what I mean, so to speak, but he picked up on those ancient precepts and put them to effect, you know, sometimes for good, but many times for worse. And we're just giving you that example there so that one can understand what it means when it says in Numbers chapter 1, verse 18, concerning the pedigree, right? Those Israelites, yes, they had to trace their descent and prove that they were descendant from the patriarchs, but they also had to fight and risk their lives and go in and drive out the previous occupants, and being successful, right, being successful in that. Remember, faith without works is dead. So they had faith, right, that Jah had given them this promised land. Now they had to put in the work. So in Numbers chapter 1, verse 18, it is designating, you have to read the whole chapter. I'd like to zoom into the 18th verse. Because you read the whole chapter of Numbers chapter 1, it says, all of those 20 years and above who are able to go to war. So let me ask you a question. An Israelite that is not 20 years and above, or say he is 20 years and above, but he's not able to go to war, right? Because maybe not all Israelites were able to go to war. Does he lose his Israelite status? He might lose, right, land-owning rights. See, the title to the land was given to Abraham, and passed to Yitzhak, and then to Yaakov, and then through Yaakov called Yisrael, Yasharala, to the 12 sons, and through those 12 sons to their descendants. And so in Numbers chapter 1, it is saying, well, who are these descendants of those? All of those 20 years and above who are able to go to war, you're going to be a part of the army. You're going to have to go in and drive out the Canaanites, the Afro-Canaanites. This is the whole context of it. And in being successful, you will have title to the land. In other words, in the land of Yisrael, according the land of Yisrael according to the covenant, right? The land of Israel according to the covenant, the only ones according to Jah covenant that we have in HaTorah that have title to land according to the covenant, right, are those who can prove their descendancy, right, from the 12 tribes of Israel. Other people could kind of like rent land, right? They could acquire land, but they could not own the land. They had no title. This is why when we get into the details of the Torah, some aspects and areas that most Israelites don't spend much time in studying, it's going in to additional, you know, precepts and rules and regulations into what we call the nine areas of people activity. Not just spirituality and definitely not spookism, you know, and not just so-called religious stuff, but also practical application, business transactions, real estate transactions, farming protocols, you know, domestic relations, many other areas. You know, we can even see some hygienic codes, you know what I mean? Dietary codes as well are being brought out. Because what we have here with the Yisrael in the wilderness is the birth, right, of the youngest nation, right? Ancient Kemet, ancient Mesopotamia, ancient, you know, Babylon, these, oh, they way old. Yes, they are old, ancient civilization. Yes, they were nations well and long time. But so what? Sometimes the elders go off. Right. Sometimes the elders, Elder Kemet and Elder Mesopotamia, Elder Sumer, you know, they might have had some good things back in the days, right? So Yisrael is being birthed, the youngest, and it's right. We should glory in the fact, right, that, yeah, Kemet is well older. If you say, well, Kemet is older, it's so much older, right? But then you as a younger, when you got a revelation, you want to say, well, you know, the elders need to listen to the youths. So now Yisrael, in this context of Kemet and of Assyria, is a youth, right? So you see the contradiction, the cognitive dissonance right there, right? Doesn't mean that always the elders are right, but it doesn't mean that always the youths are wrong either. But here, 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 brothers and sisters, keeping it sabbatically strong right here, here, here. Yes, I.
מזמור פבט, מזמור לעשרור, 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 לעשרור.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty.
אלוהים ניצב בעדת אל, 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 אל.
He judgeth among the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods.
בקרב אלוהים ישפוט.
How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations, 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 inherit all nations.
That's what we have right here, here, here. Yes, yes, yes. And we catch up on that whole Bob Marley, you know, white man, black man, Israel, not Israel. Stay tuned to vid that we're going to, you know, hopefully upload very soon on it. But it has a lot to do with what we have here, because that doctrine, you are what your father is disproved by this Torah portion right here. This Torah portion here for Shabbat Korach, Sabbath Korah, right? And we call this Sabbath crazy bald head, because Korah means bald. Not physically bald, but like, you know, like when wintertime comes, like no crops grow and the fields are bare, the fields are bald. So it means like cold and like bald head, right? But not in like just the physical, the carnal minded sense, but in a true spiritual sense. But what we have here is a generation gap, right, here in this Torah reading and feeding. And also we also have here amongst I and I in the wilderness of North America and the Caribbean, also is a generation gap. But Rosh Shiloh, come forward with this tune here. Don't be like this generation. Be the righteous generation. This generation, Rosh Shiloh.
Something about this generation, they're not like us, they love to fuss. Something about this generation, they're all been dangerous. Something about this generation, their attitude stinks, they won't get far. Something about this generation, when we say peace, they say war. People are lose control for material things. They sell their souls, blinded by vanity. See their best friends as enemies, not remembering the love from His Majesty. Oh, something about this generation, they're not like us, they love to cuss. Something about this generation, all been dangerous. Something about this generation, their attitude stinks, they won't get far. Something about this generation, when we say peace, they say war. Sticky, sticky situation I see, enemies on the rise, brutal and evil. Devils in the sky, they curse, they fight. What a terror they play. Big guns, long knives, they shed his blood every day. Something about this generation, they're not like us, they love to fuss. Something about this generation, they're up in danger. Something about this generation, their attitude thinks they won't get far. Something about this generation, when we say peace, they say war. Oh, oh, hey, yeah. Oh, Lord. Yes, we gotta work harder. Help your brother out and don't delay. Please help him today, for he can change from his evil astray. Oh, something about this generation, they're not like us, they love to cuss. Something about this generation, they're all been dangerous. Oh, something about
yes, 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 Rosh Shiloh, for tune called This Generation. One more audible right here, here for time that we have. That was on You Are Not, right? You are not what your father is, always, and not necessarily. Korah, sons of Korah, example. And here, same Korah, Israelite crazy ball heads tore apportion the wandering in the wilderness of wayward words. We call this audible here, the wandering in wilderness of wayward words. Wandering in wilderness of wayward words. Going to break it down and build right here, here, here. Destiny in words, word sound, power.
We call this the Israelites wandering here in the fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book that's known as the Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar, the book, the counting, Ba in the Midbar. Midbar, which is the Hebrew name of the book, Bamidbar, in the wilderness. It's called Numbers because the LXX and other versions, you know, bringing out that sense of the titling of the book. But from a Hebrew or a Judaic perspective, we know the book as Bamidbar. So here we're in the fourth book of Moshe, known as Numbers. And let's zoom into the Midbar. And why do we say that the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness of their wayward words? Right? Not just words, but of their wayward words. Well, let's break down this right here. The H4057, right? For the disciples, take note. And we're taking note as we are reminding ones to take note right here. The H4057, right? Have your copy book, your composition, the discipleship study book. You know, H4057. So John teaches things by the pen, you know, things that mine them would never know. So we have Midbar, right? The Midbar, right? Phonetically, Midbar, Midbar, the Midbar. Now the BDB definition brings out wilderness, a pasture, right? Wilderness in a sense, what kind of wilderness? A wilderness in a sense of a pasture. A wilderness in what sense? A wilderness in a sense of uninhabited land, that kind of wilderness. A wilderness in what sense? Like large tracts of land kind of wilderness. You know, like around a city, right? Or like a city or a little town. There's like, you know, the wild areas. Like that could be considered also like the wilderness, right? So the wilderness also, we can put it in a figurative sense. So here, for the H4057, the Hebrew word known as Midbar, that translates to both the name of the fourth book of the Torah called Numbers, right, as well as wilderness, right? So we have wilderness, but the secondary entry for Midbar is mouth. Did you know? So what's the connection of wilderness and mouth? So the same word within the archaic Hebrew, Ivrit, right, that on one hand is often translated as wilderness. Also, in a secondary sense, it means the mouth. The mouth in what sense? The mouth, you know, as an organ of speech, right? The mouth as an organ of speech. Now, some derive this here by going to the root in the sense of driving, right? Not driving like driving a car, but, you know, like driving, you know, like, okay, let's get to the root. H1696, right? Take note. So the word Midbar, Hebrew word Midbar, M-I-D-B-A-R, basic Latin. That's the basic Latin. The English letters are Latin, right? Cipher that. So the basic Midbar, the H4057, it comes from the root, right, that we have in the Strong's Concordance and other concordances, the H1696. So Midbar Hebraically comes from Dabar. Right, Dabar in the ancient pointing, modern Hebrew they might say Davar, right, Davar, right, we say Dabar, right, and what does Dabar mean? BDB has Dabar, now remember this as a part of speech is the verb, so Midbar is a noun that mainly refers to wilderness, but in the second of the Hebrew two truths, we have the mouth, right, because then the word Midbar, the root of it is Dabar. And Dabar means to speak. Dabar means to declare. Dabar means to converse. Dabar means to command. Dabar, to promise, warn, to threaten. Even Dabar, in the Hebrew context, can even be brought out as to sing.
right? The kal, the root of it is to speak, right? So the different senses of it, the nephile sense of it, of the words, like to speak with one another, to talk, the PL sense, to speak, to promise. The pu'al sense is like that which is like to be spoken. The hitpa'el sense is like kind of like to speak back and forth, right? The hefil sense. Now we have a hefil sense of it, which means like to lead away, right? So the word to speak in the hefil sense can mean like to lead away or to put to flight. Now the H1696, which is Dabar, D-A-B-A-R, ancient pointing, modern pointing is D-A-V-A-R, so modern Hebrew, Dabar, ancient pointing, Dabar. We advise the fellow Talmudim to master both. In fact, master, master the modern spoken, it's easiest. But here, we have the verb, right? It's a verb. It's a primitive root here. Now, Dabar, we're now going to Strong's here. That was previous, the BDB, Brown's, Drivers, Briggs. Here in Strong's definition, and you can look this up, follow it up. If you put even the keywords in your search, it will lead you to many of the interlinear Bible sites as well. Or you can download a software like we're using the Word, or there's a Word software, but we're using My Sword right here. Here we have the Strong's definition as the main, basically pretty faithful and trustworthy points of reference, BDB, Brown's, Drivers, Briggs definition, firstly, and here's Strong's definition of Dabar, the H1696 root word of Midbar, that is basically translated as wilderness in the first sense. The secondary sense of the Midbar is a mouth, the mouth. Dabar brings out the sense here of properly to arrange. It can be used figuratively, right, of words. So Dabar, the same word for speech. Some people say abracadabra, right? It all depends on how you point it. It can mean two different things. It depends on what your pointing is, right? Abracadabra. Abracadabra is like I create what I speak, or I speak, I create as I speak. Actually, in the Hebrew, it would mean, it depends on how you point it, right? Because another way of pointing it, it can mean that you destroy by speaking, right? So that abracadabra, you have to, depends on how you pronounce it. But getting to the word dabar, right? Dabar, to speak, right? Comes from the root sense of arranging. And it's used figuratively, right, like of words, like speaking words, arranging words, like how should I say this? Like you're thinking to say something, now you have to think, well, how should I say this? And you're trying to arrange the words, that sense there. Could be like a little wilderness, huh? Now, rarely, but it's there in the scripts, the same dabar that means to speak, from like arrangement to speak, can be also used in the secondary sense, a destructive sense, to subdue. Right? To subdue, right? In a sense, to subdue. So we have it translated in the scripts often as answer, a point, bid, like in KJV. You might come across answer. It might be dabar as a root, to appoint, to bid, to command, to commune, to glear. Also to destroy, can mean to be destroyed, to give, to name, to pronounce, to rehearse, to say, to speak, to be a spokesman, to subdue. Right? To talk, to teach, to tell, to think, to use, to utter, right? And also to work. This is how this word, bringing out the spirit of the word, right, in some of the better translations and some of the better areas of even KJV, where it does bring out not the direct sense of speaking, but like to pronounce, right? They could not dabar. They could not dabar. They cannot pronounce. They cannot like form their mouth. To say, or to speak. Now, there's also the sense of deber. Now, there's a word, pestilence, don't want to go there, but it just shows that what happened to the Israelites in this wilderness had a lot to do with their wayward words, right, and their misarrangement of words. And as we study the words spoken here, You know, once the people start to complain after they move forward from Sinai, and the first complaining comes in from the mixed multitude at the edge of the camp, then the children of Israel start complaining, then Miriam, you know, starts her rah-rah, you know what I mean? And then we get the spies, they come back with their lies and their rah-rah. Now we're here with Korah and his rah-rah, and it's all, the key is all the speech, right? The keys right here is all the speech. So here, just a quick kind of overview. The wilderness of words. So when we're looking at the Hebrew point of view of the Midbar or Bar Midbar, let us consider the lesson here and bring out the lesson as the wilderness, both a wilderness of wayward words. And they were wandering. You know, one said, well, how could the Israelite be lost in the wilderness? You know, when we look at some of the maps. Now, some of the maps and some of the places that they tell us was this place and that place, we have to question that as well. You know what I mean? But still, how could they be wandering and lost? They wasn't lost in the so-called wilderness. They was lost because of their wayward words. They couldn't recognize or reconcile their wayward words. Like the previous Torah reading and feeding, the previous portion, we get the judgment of Jah. He gave a judgment. He said basically that, all right, because of Moses, he's not going to destroy all of them. He was going to kill them dead on them and destroy them one time. But Moshe, you know, he appealed. He said, you know, what would the Kemetics think? You know, what would the Egyptians think? So ones might even, you know, develop a reason. Man, did the Kemetics, did the Egyptians save the Israelites' lives? How was that? After the Exodus? Well, yeah, in a sense, maybe, because remember what Moshe said? When John said, Moses, stand back, let me destroy this people. Now they are slandering the land. These weak-hearted. Remember, the same ones that were supposed to be counted in Numbers chapter 1, that were supposed to be the men of war, 20 years and above, able to go forth to war. Basically, they got scared and they punked out. Right? They punked out. And John was like, that's enough, I'm going to destroy them. Moses, step back, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Moses, your Midianite, your Ethiopian wife, Ethiopian Hebrew connection again. But Moses says, oh, but if you do that, then what will the Egyptians, the Mitzrayim, what will the Kemetic people think? They will think that it's because, Yahweh, you didn't have the power to bring the people into the land. You know, and they will say this and say that. So that was part of Moshe's reasoning and argument that the judge of Judges, right, Yahweh said, all right, so therefore 40 years for the day. So they was in the land for 40 days. They were wandering the wilderness to their dead, right, that generation. All the men, remember he says in Numbers chapter 14, all the men 20 years and above. So watch it, Israelites. Think about it. Because not just you can slander a man, but look what happened to the Israelites when they slandered the land. Not the man, but the land. So here, for this Torah reading and feeding here, we're going to share this Canaan land. Bring that Canaan land, tune in. Right? This Muta Baruka, interesting. Check out the biblical verse of prophecy quotes at the end of it, yeah? I them heard right there, Muta Baruka and his Canaan line tune right there, Muta Baruka. He quotes at the end right there, Jeremiah 23:8, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel, the Beit Yisrael, the Beit Israel, out of the north country and from all countries, where I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. So right there we have Jeremiah 23:8, that Muta Baruka that he quotes right there at that end of the tune right there, the Canaan land and Canaan land, interesting tune that, especially even the quote at the end of the verse, at the end of the tune, Jeremiah 23:8, which is a prophecy that's in effect right now, now, now. Chai Yahweh, Chai Yahweh, Chai. He who be who ye be liveth, Jehovah liveth, Chai Yahweh, who brought up and who led the seed, the race of the Beta Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Yes, yes, yes. But a good question is, yeah, where is the real land of Canaan, and where was the real promised land? Yes? Yes, we're going to reason on that a little bit more, but it's interesting here as we're going through the narrative because we're picking up on a lot of points to follow up on. Now, when we're speaking about the Midbar, the wilderness, right, and how Midbar is the Hebrew word for wilderness, but it also refers to mouth, and it comes from the Hebrew root word, dabar. So it's the H4057, Midbar, wilderness, which has to do with arrangement and speaking at its root, the dabar root. But we also have the Deber, right? In modern Hebrew, they'll say Dever. You might hear one say Dever, right? Well, what is Dever? Dever or Deber? Deber, not Dabar, but Deber is pestilence. See, here's why some of the ain't right Israelites have to understand that pointing is important. It's not just one or two vowels in real Hebrew. Otherwise, if you do that, you do violence to the script. And the only way you pretend you understand is because you can look at the English translation. But if you just say, okay, take one vowel or one and two vowels, and it will be unintelligible. Right, be unintelligible because that's not the way it was. So we have dabar, right, the verb, right? Dabar is the verb to speak, right? And then we have the H1698. This is also used, for example, we have in Exodus 5:3. And they said the Elohim of the Hebrews hath met with us, with I and I. Make us go, we pray thee, 3 days journey into the desert, into the Midbar. This is Exodus 5:3 we're quoting right here. And sacrifice LaYahweh to Jehovah Eloheinu, our Elohim, lest he fall up on us with pestilence, with Deber, right? Deber, or with the sword. So now, when we look at the whole Exodus narrative even properly, right? We look at it properly according to what is even written. They had said that the Elohim of the Hebrews, you know, they said that Kemen on some level was like a multi, kind of like what they say, like there was religious freedom, you know, people worship all different, even the Egyptians, they had different denominations and different gnomes. Like I say, and no diss, but it is what it is. It reminds me of Christianity for all the different denominations. They all speak about God and Jesus and the Bible and salvation and this and that. They all speak similar words, baptism, salvation, redemption, you know, reconciliation and these terms. But they have all these different denominations, right, in different areas, you know. Not to even name them, you already know who they are. But the same was so with Egypt. So in this land that it seems like all the gods were tolerated, you know what I mean? But the Hebrews now here are saying to them that, well, the Elohim of the Hebrews have met with us. So, you know, give us a, you know, a break from work, you know, like a little holiday. You know, we wanted a holiday, our own holiday. It's like we talk about holidays today. You know, they have all these other pseudo holidays. But when we want a holiday, and this was not even the whole Passover and the you know, the fake, you know, this fake rhetoric that say, oh, the Passover celebrates the destruction of Africans. They wasn't even called African. The Egyptians would have spit on you. Because did they ever call themselves that? Have you found that on any monuments? Right? They didn't even want to be confused with the Ta-Nehisi. right? They say the Ta-Nehisi, the Nehisi, you know, the Nubians are the Nubians. Different ones are different ones. But still, ones could come into Egypt and become nationalized. You know, you can walk and talk and, you know, become like an Egyptian. And different ones brought their gods or their beliefs and, you know, they basically did their thing. But the Hebrews here are asking for a vacation. Not even a vacation, a holiday. 3 days. Note that when the first request, right, in this system, in that present time of Egypt, it wasn't saying that that's the way it was always, but sometimes it'd be just a bad time. You know what I mean? We look at the politics sometime over here and these Amerikakas, you know what I mean? This Amerikaka, you know, and then sometimes we could say it was better at this time than it was at that time. You know, we talk about the 80s, NWA. You know, remember how things were back in the 80s, back in the 90s, you know, and ones can look at different generations. And some recall even the so-called good old days by comparison to the days they are living, right? So we're not looking at ancient Kemet, ancient Egypt as a monolith, you know, that the Exodus just points to the event horizon where it's like let us the go, leave us alone, let us do our thing, right? Oh, no, you want us to do your thing. We don't want to do your thing. Right? Oh, you want to throw our babies in the water. Now you're a little upset because your babies are dying. You know, it seems like this is ma'at, as they would say. But Exodus chapter 5, verse 3, it says, and they said, the Elohim of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go, we pray the eye. 3 days journey in Exodus 5 and 3. Just 3 days. 3 days journey. Now, think about this. If they had allowed the Hebrews, right, to go 3 days journey, the Hebrews and the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites, to go 3 days journey into the wilderness, sacrifice to Yahweh Eloheinu, Jehovah, our power, our Elohim, right, there might not even have been the so-called Exodus, at least not like that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you keep doing stuff to people or even to a person, after a while, you know, you are ratcheting up the consequences. So if we look at the narrative in Exodus 5 and 3, this is what a lot of the anti-Hebrew, anti-Bible, anti-Torah, pro-blacks, they avoid these parts here. Just looking at the narrative, they had said in Exodus 5 and 3 that the Elohim of the Hebrews have met with us, right? Just let us go 3 days, right? 3 days. Here. Bring out the Hebrew. Wayomru. Elohei ha Ibrim nikra aleinu nikra have met, in a sense, also have called, in that sense, have met, have called aleinu, have called upon us. The more Hebrew sense, like he has called upon us, right? And they said, Wayomru Elohei, the Elohim ha Ibrim, the Elohim of the Hebrews, ha Ibrim nikra aleinu, has called upon us, has met us, but the sense of has called upon us. Nelka, na, nelka, let us, leka, halak, let us try. Nelka, we to go, we going, right, we trying, na, we pray the eye. Nelka, na, derek, shiloshet, let us go, the way, let us go the way, 3 yamim, 3 days. Shiloshet yamim. 3 days. Bamidbar. Into what? Into the what? The wilderness. Into the midbar. Right? We nizbecha. And we will sacrifice. Right? We will sacrifice. And bring this up to the Tanakh right here, because we have a couple of different versions right here. Here it has La Yahuwah Eloheinu, to he who be, who he be, Yahweh Eloheinu, our Elohim, our power. In Egyptian terms, we're basically saying to our nature, right? To our nature, right? To our God, right? We're Nizabecha La Yahuwah Eloheinu. Now here's the part where it brings in the consequence if we don't, to us. Right, we say it's a consequence right? Just as the Egyptians know, if they believed in whatever they believed in whatever different area, they had times for their sacrifice, for their feasts, their festivals, so forth and so on. And we was asking for a work break, since we already were put under heavy labor, you know what I mean, in this new economy of things. They said, Pen, less, yifgaenu. Pen, right, less, yifgaenu, yifgaenu. Yifgaenu right here is less he paga, right? Less he encounter. He encounter I and I ba deber. So here we have the deber on the modern Hebrew sense, the dever. Ba deber. Not dabar to speak, but ba deber. Or be chareb. Or ve chareb. Chareb. Chareb is the sword. Lest he meet us, right? Lest he meet us, he encounter us with the deber. Now, what's the deber? Remember, deber also comes from the same root as midbar, as wilderness. And the deber, here according to the BDB, Brown's Drivers Briggs definition, has in the first instance, it's the pestilence, the plague is the deber. The dever, right? The dever, modern Hebrew, deber. The deber. Is pestilence, plague. Secondarily, it is moraine. And often moraine demonstrated itself like as cattle disease, right? You know, they had a couple years ago, and it still is affecting the cattle for the debtors, meat eaters, you know, foot and mouth disease, you know, where they were feeding the cattle and the animals, the other dead cattle and animals. So they turned the cattle and the animals into, with the foot and mouth disease, they turned them into like, kind of like cannibals in a sense. They were eating their own dead relatives. This is why we have to get back to land and farm, because can we really trust them? Should we really trust them? Right? So the sense of Deber, which is the H1698, so he gave me some key words, and the great thing about this, you can just put these words, the H, put H, 1698, all as one, no space between the H and 1698, put it as one word in your search, and it should bring this up. Now, Deber has a sense of destroying. It's a noun masculine. So Strong's brings out the sense of destroying, that which would destroy. So it's interesting here that this kind of a plague here is also from the same word as the word to speak, and the word for wilderness, right, also is from the same sense. This is why we call this here for the Israelites wandering in the wilderness of wayward words, because the common denominator that we find throughout these past three Torah readings and feedings here in the fourth book, the book of Numbers, by Midbar in the wilderness, is the inappropriate use of word. And then the consequences for the inappropriate use of words, right? And we as so-called black people, you know, one time we said, like, word is bond and word up, you know, and we check ones on the word. You know what I mean? The word. In the beginning was the word. So here for the wandering sheep. Hopefully we'll find Yahweh, truth, and life for the King of Kings Christ. Nikki Silk, right here, wandering sheep.
Love Chinese, you know. Life and salvation. So shall I fear no one. Oh, yeah. Once it was the wandering sheep.
Yes, Shabbat Tov. Yes, I. Nikki Silk again.
Love John is enough. Yeah. It's our life and our salvation. So shall I fear no one. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Once there was a wandering sheep, roaming get to sleep with no place to sleep. And a judge I know now, Rastafari rise again. Once there was a lost soul, with no place to shelter from the cold. And a judge I know now, Rastafari rise again. Today you're up, tomorrow the sinking sand. Today you're up, tomorrow on the sinking sand. So never give
speak of sorrow while in doubt. Give to my nephew and proper man. Once there was a wandering sheep, roaming get a sheep with no place to sleep. And a judge I know now,
rock
the far I rise again. Once there was a lost soul, with no place to shelter from the cold. And a judge I know now, rock the far I rise
again.
Listen. Jah make judge of all my foolery, and of him I've got to learn. Kindness is a raindrop, of which I confirm. Once there was a wandering sheep, roaming get to sleep with no place to sleep. And a judge I know now, rock the far I rise again. Once there was a lost soul, with no place to shelter from the cold. And a judge I know now, drop the far I rise again. Now I'm up and riding, riding in tranquility. Gain my stability from the Almighty. Once there was a wandering sheep, roaming get to see you no place to see. Judge I know now, drop the far I rise again. Once there was a lost soul, with no place to shelter from the cold. And the judge I know now, rock the far and rise again. Today you're up, tomorrow the sinking sand. Today you're up, tomorrow the sinking sand. So never kick up over while he's down. Give to my husband and he's got a plan. Bravo man. Whoa, whoa, yeah, yeah. Roaming get to sleep with no place to sleep. When I judge I know now, rock the far I rise again. Once there was a lost soul, with no place to shelter from the cold. When I judge I know now, rock the far I rise again. Jamaica, judge of all my fooling, and of him I've got to learn. My name's in raindrop, of which I confirm. Once there was a wandering sheep, roaming get to sleep with no place to sleep. When a judge I know now, rock the far I rise again. Once there was a lost soul, with no place to shelter from the cold. When a judge I know now, rock the far I rise again.
Yes, I have a blessed rise. First day, Shabbat Tov, a good strong seven by Shem Yeshua HaMoshiach. Yes, I. Shalom, Chavarim. Shalom, Le'etara.